Thanks, brother.
Hello, family. Recovering Act. My name is Abdul Ghani. From the greater New York region, uptown area, our home group is the New Narcotics Anonymous Step Guide Workshop. We meet at 419 West on 29th Street, Sundays at 4 o'clock. So if you're ever in New York, you know, please stop by. One guy, first he said it was a must, the other one said it was a suggestion. Somebody want to read this statement for me? Because I believe the statement takes me into another zone that I really don't, because I don't agree in a hole in the park. Could somebody read this?
Good afternoon. My name is Alvin. I'm an addict. Speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it's like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery.
Again, I'm Recovering Act. My name is Abdul Ghani. I want to thank the program committee for taking the risk. And you see, it's a risk fucking with me, right? Taking the risk, asking me to share my experience, strip, and hope, you know, on love or lust. You know, I'm like, I fit the literature, you know, because we have a lot of secrets in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, one thing that talks about, you know, that we have a lot of secrets in. And Just for the Day, it says two things in Just for the Day. One, it says the fifth step asks us to share our true nature with God, ourselves, and another human being. It doesn't encourage us to tell everyone every little secret about ourselves. It doesn't ask us to disclose to the whole world every shameful or frightening thought we've ever had. Step five simply suggests that secrets cause us more harm than good, and if we keep them completely to ourselves, it's not a good thing. And it says, if we examine what frightens us, we usually find that we are attempting to hide an aspect of our personalities that we are ashamed of, an aspect we sometimes haven't even admitted to ourselves. We don't want others to know of our insecurities, our pain, in our neediness, so we simply refuse to expose them. We may imagine that if no one knows about our imperfections, those imperfections will cease to exist. You know, so like coming in here and topic like love and lust, right? You know, off the top, when I heard the topic, you know, the lust part, I know the first step says that we must be saved from insanity, depravity, and death. Right, and then depravity is not a word that we talked about on my block, but when I looked it up, it says it was a state of being morally corrupt, wicked, and perverted. And then you heard the uns, right? Because it sounds like it's something that's bad or something like that, like negative and all that, right? But I grew up wanting to be morally corrupt, wicked, and perverted with a passion. So telling me that I need to be saved from that was like, wow, you know. I don't want to make this too drama-ish, right? But also, let's go with the love part first. I don't know nothing about that love shit. I really don't. love. I don't know. I got my trusty NA dictionary, right? For the purists and everything, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing about my book. It says, love, a strong, positive emotion of regard and affection. 2, an object of warm affection or devotion. 3, a beloved person used as a term of endearment. 4, a deep feeling of sexual desire and attraction. Good one. 5, a score of 0 in a tennis or squash. 6, sexual activities between two people. I can't make out the mother 7 and 8, 9, but that ain't the love that I'll be hearing about. You know, my Cox Nominees be talking about love, and the connotation I deal with love is the unconditional love, that we want to demonstrate love, and in the way we carry ourselves, we want to demonstrate love that shows that recovery is something that should be attractive, that the newcomer should want it. You know, they talk about all that over-counter generic spiritual love stuff, right? And to get to a point of being able to love somebody, right, I got to get out the way. I mean, I can't just jump. I mean, I can't expect, I guess they can, I can't expect that I'm going to be able to love you, right? And I am still so terrified of me. I am so still in denial of who I am. I am so confused and contradicted about me that for me to love you, you know, we got a thing, we talk about the representative showing up, you know, and all you can get is the representative. You know, to get to me, oh, man, to get to me, I got to, like, go deep and address some issues that really for years and years and years ain't been addressed. Like, you know, in the 5th grade, this girl Marcella, me and my man Equan, we was, like, both kicking it with her and everything, but whatever you call it back in the 5th grade, right? And, you know, it was like, which one else do you like? You know, which one else do you like? You know? He's short and blue-black, and I'm like me. I'm like, yeah, she's going to pick me. And she said, Equan, and ran. And he ran after her. And I was stuck there, not knowing nothing about feelings, not knowing anything about using, not knowing how to hide from my feelings, in a state of anguish, turmoil, embarrassment. I mean, I learned those words later, but I was, like, messed up, so no girl has ever really had a chance to love me because I ain't letting myself get vulnerable enough for you to meet me to have me not no more. So love somebody. I've been in the Heartbreak Hotel so many times, man, that the maitre d' knows me when I show up. Just rolls out the motherfucking carpet. You again? Penthouse. So when a person tries to, like, align themselves spiritually to what the program has to offer and tries to get with someone, stepless I'm talking about, right, it comes a point where the me that nobody know shows up. The first time you think that I, or you even act like I didn't do it right, my self-esteem shrinks. Don't let me have a problem getting it up. Feelings of inadequacy, feelings that I knew I can't keep her. I knew I wasn't going to be able to keep her. I seen her flirting with that nigga with the gold chain and shit. So to love you, and I'm so far in the way, it's like, I don't know, it's a hard thing. So one of the beauties of the program in Narcotics Anonymous is that through the step work thing, right, which is like the program, it's allowing me to get in position to love and be loved. I ain't there yet. I'm still struggling. You know, the pamphlet Triangle Self-Obsession says that all of our defects of character come from fear, anger, and resentment, right? And, fear is a bad motherfucker, right? Fear, fears like this big old giant tree with a whole bunch of those scary branches. So until I can get a handle on fear, me being able to love you or allow you to love me is going to be like, it's going to require a lot of work. You know, if you knew, they talk about fear being face everything and recover, false evidence appearing real, fuck everything and run. But if that's all you're working with, your ass is in trouble, right? So we got a thing we call the fear tree. I know most of y'all is all recovered up and brave and tough and heroes and all that shit, but a guy like me, right, trying to get to love, trying to show you this mountain of these obstacles in the way. I got the fear of unknown, fear of abandonment, fear of responsibility, the fear of success, fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, fear of rejection, fear of losing what I got, fear of not getting what I want, fear of commitment, fear of intimacy, fear of death, fear of hurt, fear of pain, fear of my higher power, fear of growing up, fear of isolation, fear of being judged, fear of retaliation, fear of confrontation, fear of being alone, fear of change, fear of being criticized, fear of the impending doom, fear of being vulnerable, fear of step work, fear of love, fear of being found out, fear of being caught, fear of passivity, fear of relationships, fear of poverty, and fear of being played. So fear's a bad motherfucker. So now, you know, so in order for me to get into some kind of state of mind where I'm going to be loving you and allowing you to love me, and I got all this in the way, man, listen. That's what makes lust so attractive. to have the courage and the faith that the third step hit that you hear, most of you newcomers are going to hear the old timers share that the third step meet you go to next week, right? They're going to be saying, yeah, my high power got me and I have faith in him. Okay. To have that kind of faith that we be sharing and allowing you to love me and me to love you, not being able to swim out in the ocean past my halfway point where either I go to the other side or I sink, to be on a ledge where you control whether or not it falls off, to have that kind of faith and trust in another human being who might have their own fear tree. Man. I don't know. And then don't actually follow the blueprint of what love and being in love and doing the love thing, and then when that shit go bad, I was afraid of love from the experience in the fifth grade with homegirl Marcella when she chose Equan and ran. I ain't have to get my heart broke for real, but I tried it anyway. That's what made. I was so glad when crack came. I don't know about y'all people that live like here in Ocean City and all that stuff, right? But crack lowered the price of pussy in New York. In my block, I don't know about you. Man, listen. I ain't have to have no fear. All I needed was a demo and a motherfucking lighter. In my mind, I was pretty Tony and all of my motherfuckers with dungarees so dirty they looked like suede, right? But I pulled out that motherfucking demo and that lighter. Man, listen. I came to the rooms and they was talking about, you know, in the rooms, like people was, some of the Romeo type guys in the rooms was like coming to meetings, coming to the door, seeing the girl, not always a newcomer, and doing like that, and they leave, right? I ain't did that shit since crack, so with crack I can roll up on the park benches and go like that. I got the N.A., and I don't know, I got scared of y'all girls, man, because, like, you know, y'all girls ain't smoking no crack. The AFDs was here and shit. You know what the AFDs? That's the girls with the ass for days. I was like, oh, God. Y'all was looking, y'all had that pre-crack look. And I couldn't see myself. My self-esteem is so low. My self-esteem is so low. My insecurities are so low. My fear of rejection is so great that to be able to talk to a girl in Narcotics Anonymous was like, I didn't think I could do it because I couldn't show you a demo. I couldn't show you a lighter. I thought, you know, I ain't saying y'all smart, but y'all seem smart. I'm going to talk to one of y'all. Y'all know better. You know, that's been dispelled somewhat. I mean, that's how I came in. That's how... That's how I came into Narcotics Anonymous, naive, young, happy, you know, make it, you know. So, I ended up coming from, when I came in, I spent $5 a day for the first 9 months, right? If y'all live in Ocean City, this is way up there, but I'm going to bring it down. I spent $5 a day for the first 9 months. You know, I used to go around the block. I put your bigger on, you can clear this up. I go around the block, and I find the head nurses that was there before I went to jail, right? And then $5, still blank faces. All right, but, you know, I did that for like 9 months, right? You know, and then a girl was out there with us. Her sister said, I want to go to movies with you. I was scared to death. I said, look, let me tell you just a little bit about me, right? My bottom is Central Booking, Rackers Island, Downstate, Comstock, Annex, Ogdenburg, Mohawk, Governor, Collins, Fishkill, Oneida, Woodburn, Arthur Kill, Lincoln Work Release, Fulton Work Release. When I went in front of the judge, I got clean at gunpoint on October 13th, 1989. When I went in front of the judge, the DA told the judge I was a career criminal because this is my fourth felony. That makes me a career criminal. I was mad at him. So when I came home, after being, listen, $5 a day, I was grateful to have $5. You get paid $1.55 a day upstate, and that's for 6 days a week. And I was mad because I couldn't work seven. So when I came home, I went to the office, state office building, to get a job, and they said they didn't have nothing that meet my qualifications, right? They said KFC's hiring over there, but they're paying $4.25 an hour. I told her what I was getting upstate. I got that job. I was straight. I don't know about y'all. $4.25 an hour sounded like $100 a week to me. That shit was like... So at that point, you know, I was like a $5 man, right? Now you're catching on. That's good. About time. God damn. This is a tough crowd, Mel. You know... So, I'm working at KFC. I was like 4 or 5 years. I became all you could be. Still wasn't getting $10 an hour. My man said, oh, you like people. You need to go back to school. So, I went back to school. I completed a 4-year program in 32 months, right? Got a degree. People in the fellowship told me, give them a resume. I understand the science behind it now, but I didn't then. I was just grateful then. Now I'm disgruntled. He gave the person the program and felt my resume. Got up there, they hired me. I started. They offered me. They asked me. They called me and said, "Would you take $29,000 a year?" You know, I put the phone down. I said, "Yeah, I think I can work with that." Got the job, right? You know, I was in grad school at that time, right? And started getting real paychecks, right? And now, you know, Alex is never satisfied. So now, the $5 girls just wasn't the same as the $20 girls. Recovery is progressive, so is venom disease. You know, so the $20 girls are just a little different odor, you know. You know, we got high tolerances, you know, but after you get taste of a life, you know, so. After about a year or so, right, a year and a half or so, I met a girl in the rooms. I didn't know this was going to be that like that. She took me to BBQs, spent $40 on whatever I ordered. I was done. She could have gave me 50 cents. I'd have sucked her daddy dick. I mean, oh, shit. The fuck? I ain't never had no girl do no shit like that. What the fuck? I was strong. No, I ain't sucking no dick, trust me. I'm straight hetero. That's good. Get that. No. Dead that shit, baby. You know, so the only thing was that, you know, she only had like 46 days, right? So, but that was a step. I was moving up. Hey, yo, I was a clean girl. I was moving up. I wasn't messing with active women. I was getting better by my standard, you know, not, you know, we got married 2 years later. We separated in 2000 because of infidelity issues on my part. And can't get a divorce. I couldn't get a divorce. I can get one now. I couldn't get a divorce because, see, recovery girls are smart, right? Because if you stay married 10 years, right, then you can get the retirement benefits based on the largest wage earner's income. So even though in 2000 it was over, I've been married literally, physically, legally until last year, May 10 years. So now I guess I can get kicked to the curb, you know. So lust can, like, play you out. And you can, like, end up with some consequences from lust that are not always the most desirable, you know. In the 5 years between that, my game stepped up. I went from $20 to headed, carnet, and cable. And that was like a burning building. I was stuck for about 3 years. Stopped making meetings on a regular. People ain't see me. You might see me, but I became an arsonist, or I don't know what you call it, because I planned a way to set the building on fire, right? Had it all planned out, all mapped out. Building was on fire, burning, everything, right? Had the black bags on the low. Told me, get out. Shit was already packed. Snatched the bags, got out. Was out about a month. Got the phone call. Put on my fireman jacket. Put the fire out. Like a jigger pet, that shit reconstructed. And I was back in there. Went through that for about another year and a half. So finally, I'm out of that. Now I'm in a relationship with a girl that is just a real girl, a regular girl, no gold diggerish mentality, you know. I'm getting a glimpse of having the ability to allow myself to be vulnerable to the degree of letting her know me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, y'all say indifferent here. I come from Clint Eastwood days. Well, the good, the bad, and indifferent. You know, she accepted me just like that. You know, I am definitely past the halfway point. There's no way I can turn back around now and not be hurt. So I'm kind of like practicing the beginning levels of commitment. You know, I'm doing real good with the monogamy. I'm not doing real good with the degree of fidelity that I would like to have, where I don't look at girls and flirt and all that other kind of stuff. I ain't to that degree yet. But if it's uncomfortable. I can feel that on the continuum it's uncomfortable being the way I am and knowing that I'm not trying to, like, get no hair did, no carnate. So there's no sense me even talking to you because I will get your hair did. And I know I will. If you do stunts, you get the hair and carnate shit. So I'm like, you know, I'm trying to not let lust play me out. So what we're working on, you know, the disease of addiction and, like, character defects, but there's, like, we're trying to use spiritual principles as ammunition or the antidote to them. And for lust and greed, we're working with restraint and moderation. We're consciously, deliberately focusing on, that's a 5-minute time, sorry? Just right at 5. Just right at 5. Consciously and deliberately work on restraint and moderation. You know, I'm good with moderation. I'm trying to get better with restraint. You know, I came in last night. I'm going to show you how good I'm getting with restraint and moderation. I came in last night, went straight to the hotel, went upstairs, took the bags off, threw a little change on, came back downstairs, I told Broadway. I came downstairs, right? And the elevator came and it was like, oh, like 5 or 6 girls in there, right? You know, and what's significant, you know, it was Caucasian girls, you know. So I just got in there being real polite, put on my best, you know, tap dance routine, press the button and everything. Saw the key tag, right? I said, easy does it. They said, huh? I said, okay. Fucking with that. So we come outside, and we come out the elevator. One of their friends was right there, right? So we come out the elevator. I come out like kind of like the almost gentlemanish. I let a couple of them out, and then I fuck this, right? So when I come out the elevator to the parking lot, right, the other friend is like, oh, shit, pass the gravy. So I'm like, that shit just went over my head then, right? But then another one said, yo, that's a fine black guy just came out of here. So then I caught the gravy, white potatoes. Ow, I'm... Ew. I keep $5 now. I was like, okay. I just like threw my NA armor on. Restraint, man. Bang. Went to my car, put on Biggie, and came. Rubbed my ass on over here with y'all. I must have went to get ice about 4 times last night, right? All of a sudden, I need ice and shit. I'm riding out to the vending machine and shit. Nobody, nowhere. You know. So with that, if we practice the program in all areas of our life, you know, there's ways that the program will just work for us even before we realize it's working for us. You know, willingness is the key. Just to become honest and open to yourself about what's going on. Even if it's a secret, tell yourself the truth. Just to get to the point of telling yourself, this is where I'm at. This is my assets. This is my liability. This is where I'm at. You'll get to a point where you'll tell somebody, and the program only suggests that you get to a point where you tell somebody in your higher power. After that, if you can get to the point where you could just tell a whole room full of motherfuckers like this, that's just more freedom you're going to get. It's just more freedom you're going to get, and allows people that's in your life to see when you deviate and run off course, to at least say something. If you're in my life and you see me going off course, I fit the literature. 7-step says when someone points out a shortcoming, our first reaction is to get defensive. Watch my performance if I start spazzing. The reason for you pulling me is because of love. You're trying to help me from doing destructive things that I just enjoy doing. Even though I don't, it's not good for me, I enjoy it. Third step hit. I get trapped by need for instant gratification. Fuck it. Your job is being an ultimate weapon in my life is that knowing, getting, the literature talks about getting close, intimate contact with the people in your life. So if you're in intimate contact with me, you kind of like know how I like go off. Help me. Don't just like let me just keep crashing and crashing and hitting the wall and getting up saying, oh, that didn't hurt. Help me identify help me come through my denial and realize that that's hurting. You're hurting yourself. Dang, I'd have been a thirsty ass. Good looking, baby. I'm sorry, baby. I'll get your burger later. I'll get your burger. Me and you. All right. I want to thank y'all for asking me to come share here. You know, I'm like the speaker before. I don't know how it happened. I got a phone call about a month or so ago. Said, will you come share at our convention? I said, yeah. They called me back. He said, yo, I just got this little questions I got to ask you. You got a sponsor? You got a sponsor? Got a sponsor? You did the 12 step. I mean, like, a whole interview over the phone, right? I was happy to hear. I was happy for that because one thing is that we're human, and being part of program committees and everything, you end up getting the chameleon friends and people that get your number, and because of your inability to say no, you will have people come share from here that are like coming from somewhere a little off the literature, just somewhere else. And at this area, at this level, you want to try and carry the message to the addict that still suffers as clear as possible. This convention is amazing. It seems like y'all have banquet speakers at all levels. I mean, all the meetings I've been to, almost everyone could hold their own somewhere else. And that's a real testament to the program and committee's ability to, like, get with people. And I don't know if the taping people are, like, part of it or not, but they have, like, a resource of connections and what they sit here and hear. Even if they just regular people, humans, taping our shit, they got to hear the good, bad, and fucked up of a Narcotics Anonymous sitting at that goddamn taping machine, you know, and to get them to help program things like and make it hit. This convention is lovely. I've never been to a convention where all the meetings are like this full. All the meetings are just packed full. Speakers have been like real good. I don't know about Hanif, but all the other speakers have been real good, you know. And thank you for letting me share.
Now I'd like to introduce Hanif.
I'm always an addict. My name is Hanif. And the first thing I always do is thank God for life. And Narcotics Anonymous for showing me how to live. I am forever grateful. You know, it's an honor. It's overwhelming that somebody can see something inside of me and believe in me. Love or lust. I didn't really like this topic when they first gave it to me. You know, I don't know if it's because I got to expose myself or for whatever reason. You know what I mean? I've always been looking for love in all around places. I'm talking about since I was a little kid. And today, that's all I ever wanted to be was loved. I mean, I'm not the person to come into a room and say, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I do care. I wear my heart on my sleeves a lot of days. I was thinking about lust. And lust is when I just think about me and don't care if you get yours. I mean, lust always surrounds my total self-centeredness, my inadequacies, my defects, my all these things like, can I perform well? Am I too short? Is my thing too short? I mean, I'm talking about it's a man thing. I mean, when I was little, I would always go into the men's room or the locker and look out the side of my eye, could try to compare my eyes to his, and then when it didn't show up right, I feel like I'm less than. You know what I mean? If I'm in a relationship with a woman and I feel that I didn't fulfill your needs, I feel that I'm not a man. You know, I've always tried to be the person to say, I hope you get yours before you get mine. But if you told me that you didn't, I'm messed up. Because it hurts. I don't know about you. Every time I lay down with somebody, I give a little bit of me. But I might not know how to approach you because of my inadequacies, because of my low self-esteem. So the first thing to come out my mouth is, I ain't got no money, but I say, can I take you out? And not just take you out. I will spend all my money on you so you don't reject me. Because I still today don't deal with rejection. That's why it was easier to buy crack and get you because there wasn't no rejection. But that always ran out and I was still stuck with me. When the crack was gone, I was still stuck with my inadequacies. How was I? I need your validation. Was I good enough? Did I last long enough? What the, say shit like, just tell me what to do and I do it. Because it had nothing to do with you. The faces changed. The name changed. But I was always the common denominator. I was stuck with me. I've always wanted that damn girl. You know, the person that comes through the door, you be talking about, damn! God damn! Look at that motherfucker, damn! Always wanted her. Could never measure up to it. How do I get that damn girl? But my reality, I'm not that damn guy. See, it's hard. I don't know about you. It's hard accepting your physical attributes. You bald, you short, you fat, but you want that joker that's like, woo! But I've always wanted someone that didn't want me. The person that loved me, that's there for me, that would do anything for me, I can't even see him. The person that I supposed to be with ain't there because I want the gangster. I want that thug ass. That, like, you know, I tell them I like a little cussing. Don't be too nice. Don't be too polite. I'm talking about my inadequate. Why do you need that, honey? Why can't you accept the person that's going to be good to your spirit? I be scared. I told you, man, I had this card and I used to keep it with me. And the card said, looking for love in all the wrong places. And on the card, it was this guy. He was looking behind the bush. He was looking under the car. He even had his head up his ass. What's that driving need to like make you like me so much? And then it reflip because you don't like you that much. I'm 53. And I was used to didn't share how old I was. Because if I sit here and I tell you I'm 53, I'll be looking in the room and I see this pretty young girl and I can't get her because she'll say some shit like, you old enough to be my grandfather. So I'm afraid. And not only that, I got to look at me again. Why are you going to look at somebody that's old enough to be your daughter? What the fuck is going on with you? Excuse me. What's going on with you? See, y'all told me it start with me and it end with me. If this is a program of like getting better with myself, exposing myself, that is the only way that I will get better with me. Maybe that is the way that I'll find my wife. I don't know about you. I want to be married. Look, I want to be married. But I still have a tendency to want to be a caretaker. My mother, God bless her, so she say, why do you always get needy women? Because it gives me a sense of power. It gives me a sense of control. Why are you afraid to get somebody not even above you, but just level with you? You lose control. You surrender control. So like the program and the steps, it teaches me to get better with me. You know what I mean? Love. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love y'all for what y'all are doing. I used to say what y'all did. No, what y'all are doing for me. To come into a fellowship, to think that I was a grown man, only to understand that I was a grown boy. Because y'all told me men, boys do what they want to do, men do what they got to do. I got to be the person that God wants me to be. Not in spite of, but because of what he wants me to be. Check this out. You come into a program, you take the steps, you get a sponsor, and then I continue to do what I want to do. That's not taking the steps. To be into a spiritual program and be spiritualist is crazy. And then wonder why I'm still acting and doing and calling people outside their name. Because check this out. If you live the program of Narcotics Anonymous, shit just don't feel good no more when you do stuff. It don't feel good when I'm trying to trick. It don't feel good when I'm trying to talk out the side of my neck and trying to manipulate you to get something that I want. Why? Because I remember when it was done to me. Think this. You know why I don't try to manipulate and do that thing to women? Because I remember when a woman did that to me. And I remember how it felt. Instead of me getting mad at all women, what I did is I said I would never do that to somebody and have them feel how she did that shit to me. Why are you here? That's a deep question. We read that at every meeting. Why are you here? And like, check this out. This is a spiritual program for people that suffer with spiritual conditions. You know when your spirit is dead. You do unspiritual stuff. You be angry, arrogant. You talk certain ways. You walk certain ways. You look down on things. You gossiping. You talking about people. You spiritually dead. When the person say to you, you think you so spiritual. He thinks she's so spiritual. Well, if you ain't here to be spiritually awakened, why are you here? The first thing that died was my spirit. I didn't come here because I looked physically bad. I came here because I felt spiritually dead. True insanity to be in a spiritual program, walking around here spiritually dead and acting like shit ain't wrong. God will reveal things to you in your behavior. Narcotics Anonymous is not a drug program. It's a behavior modification program. My main problem was drugs, but if I don't change my personality, I will go back to the drugs. doctor told me the drug was the most obvious symptom. Obvious. It didn't say only. It was obvious because I could no longer walk past the mirror and think I was okay. Obvious. It's a saying. If you ain't getting high, why you acting like it? Recovery. What is recovery? When I came around here, recovery. Define what was lost. What was lost? I was lost. Why am I here? I'm here to find me. I kept coming. Got a sponsor. Heard you people. Got a God of my understanding. Start moving on to find out what was recovery. Recovery is to find what was lost. What was lost? My spirit was lost. Why am I here? I'm here to find my spirit. So when I find my spirit, I find me. And then all is possible. I'm spiritually dead. That's why I'm here. Because I can still be spiritually dead. I'm so messed up some days, I think the truth is all that, and it's a lie telling me the truth. The lie sounds so sweet. The lie will give you everything that you want, just to find out down the road it was a lie. I don't know if I'm going to mess this story up or not. But man, ain't nothing unique in Narcotics Anonymous, right? I heard this story one time, right? My man said it was the truth and it was the lie. And they ran down on the beach. They both took their clothes off and they jumped into the water. And the lie got out the water before the truth, and he dressed up in the truth clothes. And the lie start walking through the town. And the people talk about, they're going to truth. Look at him, that's the truth. And the truth get out the water. And he running down the street. And somebody say, no, they're going to naked truth. Shit to make you go, If you, and we got a lot of them in here, have you ever been to court? Ooh. And when you put your hand, before you put your hand on that book and say, what? The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. So if it ain't the whole truth, a half a truth is a lie. So we got a lot of half-truths going around in Narcotics Anonymous, which means it's a lot of lies. Why are you here? It's okay to have inadequacies. It's okay to have low self-esteem. But you got to tell on yourself. Do you want for another person what you want for yourself? So what I'm saying is, why would I trick somebody when I don't want to be tricked? We all got self-esteem problems. In my spiritual condition when it's low, why do I gravitate to the person that I know that's weak and vulnerable? The one that, like, we got selective hearing. You hear somebody here share their story and they hurting and they crying and they miserable and they just looking for somebody to love them and somebody attack them like a shark. Let me share something to you. If you do something and it ain't good or conducive to your spirit and it don't bother you, something wrong with that shit. Something wrong if you stealing, lying, trying to get over, and the little voice don't say, that shit ain't right. If you doing it and the voice ain't talking to you, that's some scary shit. person and you don't even flinch. What kind of program am I practicing? Because I don't want to sit here and tell you what you practice. What kind of program am I practicing? And I say some shit, I'm a 12-step member. I've been here X amount of years. I got 38 sponsees. And nigga, you still tricking. You still hurting people. You still lying. It takes great freedom to come up here and expose yourself. But that's the only way that I'm going to get help. Real men cry. Throw the mask away. That macho stuff. Like, ooh, you's a punk. You's a punk. You a punk. Still worried about what the next man think. Why do men have a afraid of the word love? Can't even go tell another. He's Why are you here, man? What do you want out of Narcotics Anonymous? Love. Do you love the person that relapsed? Do you love the person that has some time and relapsed? Or do you talk about them? How can they get back if we talk about them? How can the person that get back that had 20 years and used and get back? How can they get back? What that make you? When you can't assassinate, not understanding, he might have been the same person if it wasn't for him or her. You might not even been here. Do you still pray for him? When you pray, if you pray, do you pray for him? Where's your spiritual condition at? Where's your love? It's all types of love. Unconditional love, motherly love, fellowship love, self-love. Which one do you have inside you today? Dig this. This is what I always say. And listen to everything that I say. I'm never, never, ever going to get high. And this is a just for the day program. And just for the day, I'm never going to get high. But listen what I'm saying. I know I'm not drug proof. I know it's a possibility that I could use. But I'm not going to sit up here and say one day I might can get high. Or it's a possibility that I can get high. That shit called a reservation. That's called a reservation. So when you say, well, this is, he never going, never say never. The book say never. Those who fall this way in life don't never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever, never got to use again. So why would I cheat myself? But I'm also a reality person. So if I say I'm never going to get high, and God forbid that I do, God bless me to never do. But if I do, do you sit up here and say, that's the same motherfucker that said he wasn't never going to get high. So now you're going to persecute me because I made a statement that I believed at the time that I believe I'm never going to get high. But if I do, you're going to persecute me because he got high or she got high because at the time they believe in their convictions. Where are your convictions? Where are your loving and caring fellowship? This is a loving, caring fellowship. Where you at? What you practicing? It ain't about what step you on. Fuck what step you on. Niggas walking around here, what step you on? Come on, man. This is a life-saving program. This is a hope program. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I do one thing. Hey, check this out. I look up here, and if you ain't never been up here at the podium, God bless you. I hope you can get up here. But there's some pretty ass women in this joint. And you, now, when you've been here, you've been up here, you could be sharing out your mouth and be thinking some other shit all at the same time. That shit is like juggling. You be sharing, you be talking about, look at that motherfucker over there. Damn! If he was near me, I'd be talking about, look at that motherfucker. But it's what I'm saying is, it's okay. It's okay. I just celebrated 16 years yesterday, right? And that's wonderful, right? But I need to say this. Does anybody with a day, 2 days, a couple days, 30 days, how I'm talking, how I believe, how I have this confidence? It took me 16 years to get here. That shit didn't happen overnight. So what I'm saying for the newcomer is, what we have a tendency to do when we new, we look at people's success and we get envious and we get angry and we be saying it ain't about this and it ain't about that. It's about it all. It's about everything. You don't have to get a college degree. If you want to be the manager at Burger King, be the best-ass manager at Burger King. If you want to be the man picking up the trash, pick up all the goddamn trash. You know what I mean? If you want to be a plumber, screw that shit and write. Be what you want to be. I don't have the right to tell you she got on 22 chains and 16 earrings and say some shit. It ain't about the jury. If it's about the jury today, let that shit be about the jury. One day you'll take that shit off. It's about the jury today. You gonna tell a person that ain't got shit, never had shit, it ain't about the jury. Motherfucker, yes it is. You be talking about, you better get the fuck out of here. Call your sponsor. Motherfucker been in the thriftways all day. Now he get his first new shit. It ain't about that. Man, you kiss my ass. You gotta welcome people like that. Yes, it's about the jury. Yes, it's about the job, the degree, just the work, just a come up. The come up is, you ain't sleep in the street. I don't give a hell if it's a shelter. You ain't in the street. You might have had to go to the shelter to get to the recovery house, to get to the apartment, to get to the house. Don't tell people what it ain't about. God told me, hey, it's about all of us. Every diversity of the recovering addict is in here. Come on, man. Where the love? Oh, dude, I'm just lusting myself. I told you, man, what lust is. Totally self-centered, only thinking about me. Long if I get mine. That's lust. What are you lusting for? I ain't talking about sex. Because the first time you hear lust, you think about sex. We lust for all kinds of stuff. We get when you lust, you get diverted. You don't think about success. You just think about the feeling, the rush. What you rushing for? I don't know, man. I need y'all. I'm going to share this in closing. Another just came to my mind. I heard somebody tell somebody in the meeting. Boy relapsed. He said he called somebody after he used. Motherfucker told him, don't call me after you. What kind of shit is that? I told a motherfucker, call me after you use, because I'm going to fuck your high up. I'm going to fuck it up. Call me, because when now time you listen to me, you be talking about, I'm going to fuck back to the meeting. Now, I prefer that you call me before you use, but I'm not going to send you away because you did use. If you can't come back here, where you going to go? Back to the crack house. So that's the kind of stuff that's not loving and caring. That's that self-seeking attitude. Don't call me. Come on, man. And I know we get frustrated with people that keep you. It is a frustrating process. And we do that. But I need to make amends when I do it. That's what we do. So in closing, here go my hope story. I told it this morning. I told it for 16 years. And if you heard me share, you're going to know it. Have you ever gone to the amusement park and you walk up the steps and you're going to the spooky house and you get a man a ticket and he tell you when you go through the door, you can't turn around. And you give him the ticket and you go through the door and the door shut. And you want to turn around and run, but he told you, you can't turn around. And you start walking and walking, and something happened. Shit pop out like bad relationships. Unemployment. You want to run, but you can't turn around. And you start walking, and you remember hearing, go to the light. And you see this glimpse of light, and you feel good, and you start walking. And something happened. Shit got worse. Death. Other diseases. And you want to run. But you can't turn around. And you keep walking. And you walk. And you get to the light of the exit. And you open a door. And you turn around and look. And you say, shit just ain't that bad. So remember, when all seem hopeless and all seem helpless, man, shit just ain't that bad. Thank you for letting me share.